Well, before I jump into the sermon, I wanted to take a moment this morning to recognize what happened in New Zealand and the massacre of those Muslim temples there. Really broke my heart. You know, it's such a terrible thing to hear on the news. And, you know, I just, as a community, as a church and a leader of a faith community, I couldn't help but just think of how devastating something like that would be for that community of people. And so I wanted us to, you know, I was recalling in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, he says, you make every effort to live at peace with everyone. And I think that it's so important that as we look at an event like this, and it's hard to sit back and contemplate, well, what can I do? You know, I mean, how can I respond? Because there's something within us that just wants to respond and make it all better. And I would just say, you know, the one thing that we can do is make every effort to speak words that promote peace. And that goes in our day-to-day conversations, in our inner life. And when we hear about things or see things on the TV or in the media in various forms, that we would just promote peace and pursue peace with everything that we have. And I want to just say a prayer. I want to agree together as a congregation and just extend a prayer of peace for those who are in the midst of what I can only imagine is just terrible, terrible sadness and overwhelmed by grief. And I just want to ask that God would bring his peace on that situation. So would you agree with me? Let's just bow our heads. And Heavenly Father, we are grateful to know you as you have revealed yourself as the Prince of Peace. And God, I know that there's a great deal of chaos and confusion going on in the midst of those communities in New Zealand. And God, I just want to ask that you would preside over and that you would reign over that with your peace. Lord, that you would calm the hearts of those who are grieving. God, that you would surround them with your love and your grace. God, that you would cause the people in those communities to just rally together, to unify, to come around those who are grieving. And God, I just pray that from our congregation here in Seattle, Washington, Lord, these prayers would go up and they'd have great effect and impact on those who are suffering over there. And so God, we just ask that you would work and move and do the work that only you can do. And bring peace, bring your love, bring your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Well, we are in a sermon series and we're calling this sermon series A Virtuous Life, and we're taking a look at a number of different virtues, five virtues, really. Last week, we took a look at the virtue of honor, and we talked about the importance of honoring those in authority, honoring parents, honoring our spouse, honoring honor in our society is something I think that has been diminished, and we need to bring honor back. But this morning, we're talking about another virtue. We're talking about purity. And as I was thinking about purity and that word and everything that it implies, I couldn't help but think of the opposite of purity in order to really capture and grab, you know, the definition of what that word means. And so I was thinking back to when my kids were young, and I can't remember which kid it was. I know it was one of the boys, and you'll understand why in a minute. But I was holding this child. It was either Josiah or Judah, one or the other, and all of a sudden, the smell, right, and I looked down, and he was in his diaper, and the smell, it was like poop dripping out of the diaper onto my shirt, leaking down onto my pants or shorts or whatever I was wearing, and I just remember just like, oh, you know, gag reflex, just like that is the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen. So I'm taking my clothes off. I'm grabbing him. I don't know where Deborah was at the time, probably saying, hey, good luck with that. Brought him to the change table. I took the diaper off. And I remember, you know, so I had gotten myself, you know, purged. for the most part, from all these clothes. And so then I was putting a diaper on him, and this has happened a time or two. All of a sudden, a spray comes out and sprays me, you know, with urine. So now I've been hit with poop. I've been hit with urine. And that is the opposite of pure, my friends. I needed a shower in a major, major way at that point in time. So as we get started with this idea of purity this morning, let's just remember that. However that helps you. No, but I do want to engage in an exercise with you, and if you would do this with me, I want to ask that you would just close your eyes for a second and think about this. Think about the word purity. And I want you to just think, what images come to your mind? What images come to your mind when you think of the word purity? As I did this, I thought of the color white. I don't know if any of you thought of that. I thought of an innocent child. I thought of water. Nature in its natural state. There's something that's so pure about that, or God. And now, still keep your eyes closed if you would. Now, not images, think of what words pop into your mind when you think of the word purity. What words would you use to define purity? Thought of faultless, clean, blameless, white as snow, innocence. But as we are thinking about those things, I want to take you real fast to Matthew chapter 5. And this is a statement of Jesus that was something I was just chewing on all week long. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5 in his famous Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And as I was thinking about this, I was contemplating, what does Jesus mean here? What does it mean to be pure in heart, first of all? And what's this experience like of seeing God? And how does one obtain that level of purity? Was one thing I was chewing on. Is it a position of holiness? Is it moral perfection? Which I think is a place that a lot of us go to. But as I was thinking about that, I was recognizing, okay, well, there's some key figures, especially from the Old Testament, who were the ones who saw God, right, in his purest sense. I think of Moses and I think of David, two key characters in the Old Testament. And they were far, hopelessly far, from moral perfection, right? They were very flawed individuals. And so there was something about that that was a little bit puzzling to me. Not to say that holiness isn't important in all of this, the pure in heart will see God, but when I thought of purity, I think the image that grabbed my imagination, at least initially, was that of childhood innocence. It was a young child. And it's the first thing that popped into my mind, most powerful imagery that I could conjure up. And, you know, children, they have this ability to believe that anything is possible. They'll say things like, "I'm going to be an astronaut." And they don't have to contemplate, you know, trying to get a 4.0 or getting into MIT or doing something crazy like that. They just throw it out there and they believe it's possible. Or "I'm going to be a professional athlete," right? They don't understand that, hey, you've got to have some size, or you've got to have some strength, or some supernatural, you know, physical activity in order to make that possible. And they don't think about that, right? They have this audacity just to hope and just to believe, hey, I can do that because, well, I want to. And they have these very innocent, I guess you could say, maybe you could go on and say naive, a cynical adults would say naive. But I believe that there's something in this. There's something of an innocence of a child. And yeah, that naivety that really speaks to purity. I believe it was in this frame of mind that the Apostle Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know who's buzzing over there, but you might want to turn that off. Because that's going to distract me. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, with God, all things are possible. And there's something about that that just resonates with me, because Paul is, he's got this same innocence, right? He's got this belief and this purity of belief. And a child is pure because a child sees themselves the way that God sees them. The pure in heart will see God, right? And that's what Paul is speaking to. That's this idea, right? That, hey, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A child is pure because they see themselves the way that God sees them. I asked the staff this week what they thought of when they heard the word purity and what that meant to them. And in particular, I asked them, distinguish purity from integrity, because we're going to be talking about integrity in the coming weeks. So what are the distinguishing factors when it comes to purity and integrity? And they mentioned a lot of different things, but one of the things that really was consistent and stuck out, the consensus, was that purity is more of an internal state of being, the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings, whereas integrity was more of an outward expression of those inner things. And so integrity was in our interactions and in our relationships with others that we have this integrity intact, but it's really based upon the foundation of purity, which is more internal, the thoughts, the emotions, and the feelings. And I resonated with this because of the teachings of Jesus. When you hear Jesus teach on holiness, when you hear Jesus teach on purity, oftentimes he addresses it using this description. So I'll take you to a couple of different places in the scriptures where Jesus is speaking of this theme. Luke, chapter 11, verse 34, he says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. So you see Jesus kind of, at first you're like, okay, it's what you see. No, it's not what you see, it's how you see it. I wrote about this actually a couple weeks ago on my blog. It's how you see things. So see to it that the light inside you is not darkness, because how you see things will determine what comes out of you, is the essence of what Jesus is saying there. So Matthew chapter 15, he uses a different kind of metaphor, but says essentially the same thing. In verse 11, he says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. It's not usually the way that we look at it. It's backwards in a way. The disciples are so confused about this that they go to him privately and ask him afterwards, okay, we didn't get that. Like, can you explain it a little more? And so he says, are you still so dull? Jesus asked them, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and they defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. So again, Jesus is saying, it's not what enters us, it's not even necessarily what we are exposed to that defiles us. What defiles us is what comes out. And there's this really important distinction if we are able to understand what it means to be pure. And so I would say it this way, that being pure, it's about our reactions. It's about how we respond to and deal with the things that we are exposed to or the different experiences that we have. I put these two statements down, and I think they'll be helpful to you. You can write them down if you want. The first one is just simply this. Purity is not the result of avoiding evil actions, rather the pursuit of that which is good. Purity is not the result of avoiding evil actions, rather the pursuit of that which is good. And then more simply, I put, purity is not about what we deny, rather what we pursue. And here's why I think this is important. If we spend our energy and we expend all of our willpower trying to keep ourselves from doing what is wrong, it will cause us to do one of two things. First of all, it will cause us to focus on everything that is evil and everything that is not good. And then secondly, it will keep us from focusing on the right things, on what God would desire us to focus on everything that is good. I was talking to a friend recently over dinner, and we were at an auction actually for the school that our kids attend, and they're raising a lot of money. And in so doing, they had each table bid on their dessert. And so dessert is really important to me. So we gave the most money that night towards our dessert. You know, people are spending $5,000 on vacations and all sorts of things, and I'm spending money on the dessert. And so I put a good bid down, and it didn't come close to what the other tables bid. So I was like, we were like right in the middle. So anyways, I got to go choose the dessert for our table. And I chose the biggest, most gigantic chocolate cake that you have ever seen. Because I love chocolate cake. There's something about it. And so I came back to the table just glowing, like, look what I found. And everybody's like, oh, you know. And we were eating the cake, and the guy next to me, who's a friend of mine, was not eating the cake. And he explained to me that for the last 3 or 4 months, he'd been on this diet, and he had really made this effort to change his eating habits. And what he said is something that you hear all the time. He was saying, well, you know, I eat vegetables, I eat, you know, proteins, you know, I eat healthy, is what he was saying. Some sort of Whole30 diet or something like that. And he explained to me, after a couple of months, he said, I can look at that cake and I don't even desire to eat that cake. In fact, it almost makes me sick just looking at it because I've trained myself to eat the right things. And I said, well, that's good for you. I look at that cake and I want to eat the whole thing. And I know I'll be sick, but I want to eat it anyways, right? And that's the way I see things. And so I was recognizing something about the way I see foods needs to change, right? But he was saying, I'm pursuing all these good things to eat, and guess what? I don't desire the bad things anymore. It's this wonderful psychosomatic thing. Pursue that which is good, and you won't desire what is evil, but let your focus be upon pursuing that which is good. That is the key to purity. Pursue that which is good. To use another analogy, when I was 16, I got my first job. I worked at Taco Time, kind of pseudo fast food. It's a little better than fast food because it's fresh ingredients. At least that's what we were indoctrinated to believe as Taco Time employees. But I worked at the Taco Time up at Lake Stevens, and it was my first job. And so for me, I was, you know, the idea, mostly I worked, you know, 4-hour shifts. I was a student, and so I didn't work all that long. But I remember on those days I would work an 8-hour shift, and they had, for some reason, clocks everywhere. And on an 8-hour shift, I kept looking at the clock and looking at the clock, and it would be like 5 minutes have passed, 10 minutes have passed. And the day went so long, right? I'm looking at this clock and it's just crawling. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is torture. This is lasting forever. And I remember there would be these pockets where we would get busy. And I was busy folding burritos, you know, and cooking up the meat or doing whatever it was that we did. And the time would just fly during those periods because I was just focused on the work. And there was this wonderful thing that happened. You just focus on the work, you focus on doing things, and the time flies, right? You focus on how slow the time is going, and the time will go incredibly slow. It's an amazing thing. I thought of this passage in Psalms, Psalm 34, verse 14, and this is David writing, and he says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. It's so good and it's so true. It's about direction. Right? If you're struggling with feeling impurity in your life, with sensing, gosh, all of my actions, they're just, all the thoughts in my mind, the feelings, the emotions are impure, then change your direction. Pursue that which is good. Pursue that which God would have you focus on. And watch everything fall into place in that process. The more focused you are on evil, the more focused you are on not doing the things that you shouldn't do or denying yourself from all these things that you desire, the more you'll gravitate towards those things. It's such a key principle in all of this. This week, I don't know how many of you did this as well. It seemed like there were a lot of people out working in their yards. But yesterday, Deborah and I, we took it upon ourselves to purge the house, you know, a true spring clean. And so, yeah, Garth is like, hallelujah. It's amazing. And, you know, the weather was so nice. It was just beautiful outside. And everywhere we went to the nursery, we went to the Home Depot, we went to the truck rental place, and it's just buzzing. Everybody's doing all this stuff. I went to the dump. The dump was crazy. But we had this pile of junk. You know how this goes on the side of the house, a pile of junk that you just collected itself over the winter. You know, just throw it out on the side of the house was the way that it went. And the pile grew and grew and grew until it was like, okay, we're not getting rid of that until we get a big old truck and get it out of here. But it's such an amazing feeling. You purge the property of all trash, and we're weeding and cleaning everything up and getting all the old growth and all the branches and all the leaves and everything out of the yard. And it was such an amazing feeling. And I woke up this morning and it was kind of dark, and it even smelled like, well, you know what it smelled like because we had new soil there. It smelled like that. And it still felt clean, right? I mean, I just walked outside. It was just beautiful, like gorgeous. I looked on the side yard just to look at it, right? And there's nothing there. And I was like, ah, that's so amazing. It feels so amazing to have a clean house, to be purged of all the trash. And I can guarantee you what's going to happen from here forward is that if there's one little dandelion, right? Or if there's one piece of trash on the sidewalk, I'm going to be like, oh no, you know, get that thing, put it in the trash. Why? Because it's clean. And when it's clean, I want to make it stay clean, right? And there's this mentality that we have, right? When it's clean, I want to make it stay clean. And so I was regarding, you know, my own experience with impurity. And it's amazing how this works, but if I have one impure thought, I might be able to say, okay, you know what, out with you, you don't belong, right? Because I'm clean, my body's a temple, right? But it's amazing how one impure thought can build upon itself, and two impure thoughts, and three impure thoughts, and all of a sudden there's this avalanche of impurity in my life, and it tends to, you know, exhibit itself in all sorts of bad behavior. You know, it might enter through one door, but then all of a sudden it just invades the rest of the house. And there's this waterfall of impurity, right? And that's just the way that it seems to work. But, you know, if I can keep that house clean, so to speak, right? Oftentimes it's just easy just to have that fresh start. And as I was contemplating that, I was realizing, you know, this is the importance of recognizing what Christ has done for us. Because as we come to a theme like purity, I think that a lot of us, we kind of focus on, well, we feel all the guilt, we feel all the shame, we feel this sense of, well, goodness, I haven't had a very good week, right? Or we didn't have a very good morning, you know, or, you know, some negative thought or something, you know, instantly we kind of go to the shame, we go to the guilt. And I think it's so important for us to start with a clean slate and to say, what Christ Jesus has done for us has made us pure as white as snow. And to start there, right? To start there. And so this morning, as we As we explore this theme of purity, I just want to proclaim that over each and every one of us, that what Christ has done for you has made you as pure and as white as snow. And that's your state of being right now. You have a clean house. You have just engaged in a spring clean, right? Spring clean. I proclaim it over you in Jesus' name. And so I want us to really grab a hold of that. I want us to really embrace that this morning, because I think it's such a key towards you walking out of these doors and being victorious in your life and living this life of purity, that you would see every small impure thought, that you would recognize this doesn't belong, and remove it from the house. And so Jesus has made you pure. Jesus has made you as white as snow. That is yours today. Receive it. That's who you are. That's who you are in God's eyes. I want to pray over you, and then we're going to speak a benediction over you as well. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. God, we recognize that because of his sacrifice, that Lamb of God who was pure has imputed upon us that purity. God, you have gifted it to us by grace. God, it's nothing that we accomplish. It's nothing that we work towards. It's nothing that we need to do in order to obtain it, but just receive it. It's this wonderful gift that you give. And so, God, as we are sitting in this place this morning, I just pray that we would open up our hearts. We say, God, I receive the gift of your purity. You have made me pure. You have forgiven every trespass. You have forgiven every sin. You have wiped my slate clean. And so, God, I want to live out of that. I want to live out of that purity. Thank you, Jesus. So, may your eyes be trained to see yourself the way that God sees you. Pure, white, without blemish. And may you pursue that which is good at all times and lose every desire for evil. And may you never doubt that Jesus has washed all of your sins and made you white as snow.